So God's word today, we will turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will burn in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Amen. God is everlasting. God is the everlasting one. God is the everlasting one. There is no beginning and no end in him. And so he is always new. For if there is a beginning and end, there is a past, a present, and a future. But for God, he has no beginning, has no end. He has no start. He has no finish, for he is always new. And therefore, he keeps his covenant eternally. And to believe that he keeps his covenant eternally is what faith is. And faith life is according to the promise of Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ will return. Do you believe in his return? So when we talk about the return of Jesus, there are people out there who think only the insane people, the cults, believe in such return of Jesus and just believe him as one who provides them help. But this is a God, a divine being that man has created or invented. But rather, our Christian faith is that as the day approaches, and because we believe that that day is approaching, we live a life looking forward to the new heaven and earth. This is what faith life is. Do you believe in the return of Jesus? And what will happen when Jesus Christ returns? We will be transferred to the new heaven and new earth, and we live this faith life looking forward to that day. So this past dedication service, we had a dedication service presented by the EM group regarding the favela in Brazil. And what a favela is, it is like a slum-like place in Brazil. And that was what the play was based on. And in a Korean broadcasting news, the KBS, there was a report regarding the favelas in Brazil. And I saw that video, and what the title was called The Tears of Favela. And after watching that video, I thought about how we could help in supporting those people there. And then I think, initially the EM groups, they wanted to do a script about fighters. And but then I saw this video, this documentary on the favelas, and it really inspired me. And it really caught my attention. And it was this child who, because they live in such a desolate and such a land of despair, his dream was to become a good policeman, a police officer. And in Rio, in the world, it is one of the best, the most attractive and beautiful places. And however, in contrast, there is the high crime rates are very high, and there are also these slum-like areas called the favelas, also there, especially these days. And so there is poverty, and people are uneducated there, and their crime rates are very high, and there's also drug trafficking, and it's such a place, such a sad place. And it's hard for young people to live past the age of 20 because of the violence and the crime. And so I suggest that you watch this documentary. It's called The Tears of Favela. It's a Korean documentary that I saw. And in such land, there is no hope. And it's the hopeless land. And I actually did some more research. And in fact, it's not only the favelas in Brazil, but it is all of this region in South America that there are many criminal activities, and there's a lot of drug activity in these areas. And this whole region, there is no hope. And one hope that these kids grow up with is no route day, which is to travel north, to travel north. That is what they place their hope in escaping such a sad and situation. And we see many migrants on the south border who are gathered there because they want to escape violence and escape such despair in order to seek out hope for the future. In the world, we see that the politicians, they speak of solving such problems of uncleanliness and also of crime. And so they speak of a better future regarding making electric cars and also using more of solar energy to make a better environment and to create a cleaner atmosphere. And we see that the environment in the Amazon rainforest, the natural life there is deteriorating because of such climate change and environmental, the detrimental effects of all this towards the environment. And that there is a lot of contamination in these forests, in these waters, these bodies of waters that are a source of life for all the vegetation and for the life in such forests. And even in Africa and all these regions, we see the deterioration of the natural life. And also in these oceans, we see that plastic garbage is increasing all the more in these waters. So I, myself at home, I recycle all of these plastics, and even the wrapper on the plastic bottles I try to recycle, but apparently they don't take those wrappers. But where it ends up is in these oceans. You see plastic everywhere, and when the fish eat such plastic, then they die, and it's just contaminating these waters. And also with garbage that comes from the factories, we see them end up in the rivers and in the oceans and the seas. And in Bangladesh, there are a lot of clothing factories that manufacture fabrics and clothing. And so all these fabric scraps, what they just dispose of these fabric scraps that are left over from the clothing. And so that area, there's a lot of rain. So when the rain falls, these decompose, and all the dyes that are used in the fabrics, they're all being infiltrated into the water systems. It's just horrible. And also there were lots of floods. You see with the floods that it just carries all of these wastes and dirt and rocks and all the debris. And they end up, you don't know where, they just end up everywhere. And also even in the sewage systems, the hard solid material, there are certain containers that they float to. But just think about how in the oceans there are all these waste material that are entering into the waters, and it's disgusting and it's just accumulating. And the more and more time passes, the more and more people there are, and the more and more debris and garbage is accumulating. And there's also the farming and harvesting of salmon. They're not what you imagine. They're not from the fresh waters. They're actually farmed and harvested in these places. They're commercially farmed. And what they eat, what they're fed, is not the natural water life, but rather they are fed, and these formulas are made from not so healthy materials. So basically, we are just eating trash, garbage. Also, so it's just total corruption throughout this whole world. So we see with the government, with the politicians, and all these organizations, there's just total corruption. And in China, there are these famous politicians. In Europe and Swiss, millions of dollars are used for these acts of corruption. So there is just corruption everywhere. However, you may think that maybe America might be a bit better than all these other regions in the world. And I still have this fantasy, I still have this hope that the U.S. is better. But the more we know, U.S. is no exception. You see with the politicians that there is such corruption within. It's just unimaginable, and there's no way. You see with environment, with the educational systems, with the politicians, and with the religious organizations, you see there's just corruption everywhere. And also in Korea, there are these mega churches, and there are these pastors who are very corrupted. And I've never heard a story where such pastor who repented for such ways. So you see in this world, wherever you look, whoever you see, you cannot say that he is holy or he is clean or he is a good. There is no one in the world who can be called such. And we see that as time passes, the worse and worse it gets. And do you think we can go back? It's irrevocable that we cannot go back. And I don't think it can be, because the more we see, it's just landsliding. Everything is just deteriorating and getting worse. And all that awaits us is the end of times, because everything is unclean. This universe is filthy. It is unclean. And we even hear that there is the debris in the atmosphere. So anything that is associated with humankind, with humans, is unclean, is filthy. And in fact, humans are the most corrupted, the most filthy of all created things. But there is hope. because more than humans, it's Satan. It is the devil who is the most unclean, who is the most filthy. And that is why in the dispensation of God, in his plan, he created the devil and this archangel who sinned against God, who was contained in the universe. And that is why also God gave us this opportunity, this chance to escape this unclean, this filth, this land of filth. So it was the archangel, it was the angel who disobeyed God first. And therefore, because of his sin, he was contained in the universe, imprisoned here. And this, where he is imprisoned, is called the universe. And the Bible speaks of this universe, which is Hades. And it's the dark pit, and it is the very place where the angel and the fallen angels are being contained in here until the great day of judgment. So this universe was created as a large garbage incinerator where they would be judged and executed. And until that day, they are being preserved here. And this is the very universe that we speak of. So if you believe in God and you believe in the Bible, then you have your perspective on the universe must change. Do you think that the universe will be everlasting? Do you think that the universe is a clean place? That is not the case, because God created this universe as the first heaven and first earth, meaning that there will be a new heaven and new earth to come. And so here in the first heaven and new earth, it is where the fallen angels are being contained here to be judged on that day. And when this universe is burnt up, when it becomes a lake of fire, he will lead the souls to his eternal house in heaven. And this is the plan that God has for us. And it was in this plan that man was created, that in this universe there was the earth, and in this earth there are men who were created. And into this man, Adam, God breathed his breath of life, and therefore the man became a living being, a spiritual being. And he was placed in the garden, and he was to rule over everything and to enjoy all the garden. However, God gave him one command, which was not to eat the forbidden fruit, the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for if he ate, he would die. And God created all this because he has a plan and because he has a purpose. And so in the garden, he also placed the devil in the form of the serpent, who deceived Eve to eat the fruit, telling her that she would not surely die. So she was deceived, and she ate the fruit, and she gave it to her husband. And so Adam, as a living being, who was to obey the word of God, he disobeyed by eating the fruit, and therefore sin entered his spirit, and that sin was inherited to all mankind. And so therefore all men were belonged to the devil, bound to hell with the devil, as it says in Matthew chapter 25, verse 45. So that we are not burned up in this universe, and so that we can escape this burning universe, God, he revealed in the history of mankind his presence, that he is living. And first, in order to show that the price of sin must be paid, there was the flood of Noah. There was, for their wickedness was increasing so much during that time. And the world was so wicked and evil, and all, even the peoples themselves acknowledged that they were wicked. And so when time came, God, he judged the world with the great flood, and he wiped out all those in the flesh. However, Noah, who received the warning of the great flood, who in holy fear built the ark with his family, they were saved. And God commanded Noah, because Noah was a descendant of Adam, So we see here in the story that the flesh will die, but those who had the spirit, they were spared before they built the ark. And so Noah and his family were saved because they obeyed his word. So the spiritual being now were able to experience and know that there is a way for them to be saved, which is to obey. And then after God, he called on the people of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt for 430 years. And they were let out of their slavery. So they were no longer the slaves of the Pharaoh, but they became a holy servant of Jehovah God. And this is what Jehovah God called his people, his holy servants, his holy people. And it was through many miracles and wonders and signs, the Israelites, they were shown and experienced. And they were led out because God, he hadn't planned to make them his holy people. He had chosen them to become his holy people. However, regardless, because they were so corrupted in their hearts and they complained and grumbled because they were in fact unholy, they were struck down in the desert. And they also worshipped idols, and they worshipped a golden cow. And so God, in his eyes, these people became very corrupt and were evil and wicked, and so they were all put to death in the desert. And even though they experienced the miracles of the Exodus and crossing the Red Sea, we see that by their nature, in their tendency, they were corrupted in their ways. And so when God gave them the law, which was a law to make them clean and holy, as it's referenced in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 to 24, this was a law that was given to them. And the way for them to become cleansed, to become holy, was to sprinkle the blood of the animals. And the priests became priests by sprinkling the blood of animals. And they had to give the sin offering for the forgiveness of sins. And it was by the sprinkling of this blood that they were to be cleansed. And so this was a law that was given to them, for they were to become the holy people of God. It says the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So do you think God gave them this law knowing that they would not keep it? As I just mentioned, the death, sin, entered the spirit because of disobedience to his command. For men by nature, they are sinners. And in Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 18, it mentions that you have become like garbage. And so, therefore, God started this process of filtering out, of separating the clean from unclean, the good from the evil. And we see that because of their corruption and disobedience to God, they were taken as captives, and they lost in battles. And they had no hope except they placed their hope in the temple. And that is when Jesus Christ appeared. Yeshua, he appeared before the temple, and he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." So this does not mean that they do not need the temple, but he said, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it back up again," meaning that they do need this temple. So what was the function of the temple? The temple that was made by the Israelites, made by human hands, it was the very place where they caught animals and shed the blood of animals and sprinkled the blood of animals as a way to cleanse, as a way to wash away sin, as a way to be forgiven. But this temple must be destroyed. because this temple, in this temple, there was only the forgiveness of the flesh. But now the Son of Man had come. He had come so that as the true eternal sacrifice, he would cleanse them, and it would be their souls that would be cleansed. That in the temple by the blood of animals, it had to be renewed annually. They had to repeat this every year to sacrifice this animal and shed its blood. And the effect of such animal's blood was only 1 year. So it was only a limited time that this effect, that there was this effect. However, the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh, the Spirit who became flesh had come, and His Spirit is eternal. And so this is the eternal forgiveness that He would give to all men. So when Jesus Christ came, He mentioned that He called Himself the Son of Man, and that the Son of Man had come to give them the eternal forgiveness of sins and cleanse them with His blood, and that He would become the atoning sacrifice. So this is good news. This is just amazing news. It's hopeful news. So Jesus, the Son of Man, He did not come to be served, but He came to become a ransom for many, as it says in the Bible. So Jesus, He predicted His death, and He would tell His disciples that He would die, and He would die as like a sacrifice. He would die as a sacrifice and shed His blood. But no one was able to understand what He said or accept, because they saw great potential in Him, and there had been some people who wanted to make Him king so that their nation would be restored. However, Jesus, the Son of Man, would die. He had this mission to complete, that He would die to pay the price of mankind's sins by becoming the atoning sacrifice. And that is why He walked silently to His own death. And those who were unable to understand Him or accept Him, they captured Him and delivered Him to His death. So when Jesus Christ, He died, what did He say? He said, "It is finished." So those who opposed Him, those who were suspicious of Him, and even His disciples, they fled. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it describes that Jesus, that He was abandoned by the people. It says He was despised and rejected by men. So what He cannot stand is uncleanliness, is garbage, is trash, dung. All these filthy things is what the holy God cannot stand. Even you have a loved one, you do not want to see their waste material. For this waste material is corrupted, it's unclean, and there's no life in it, and it's perishable. And there is no law in the world that revives something that has already been corrupted, that has already been deteriorated. So when Jesus Christ, He died on the cross, in the eyes of men, He was rejected, and He was despised because they could not tolerate Him. However, He has no sin. He is the only innocent one. But why was He rejected by men? Why was He tossed away like garbage? Why was He treated like garbage? The moment that He died on the cross, the moment that He hung on the cross, is when the sins of mankind were transferred onto His body. And so the price of sin entered His body, and the price of sin is death. So when Jesus Christ died on the cross, remember that mankind is like trash, it's like garbage. So when we talk about the favelas and the slums, there's not just garbage and trash in these areas, but this whole world, all of mankind are garbage. And on that day, all this garbage will be burned up. So when these garbage dumps are burned, it's very, very difficult for these fires to be put out, and it goes on for months and months, and they emit methane gas. And so this universe is like it's Gehenna, and it's like a garbage incinerator. This universe will be burned up. This universe will burn up sin, all the price of sin. And this is what the universe will become. The moment that Jesus Christ died on the cross, when he transferred the sins of all mankind onto his body, when he paid the price of their sins, he paid the price of such filthy sin. And that is why people rejected him. That is why people tossed him away. That is why they despised him. And this is when Jesus Christ paid the price of sin. And the moment that he died, he shed his blood. And he obeying the command of the Father, and he glorified him. And also second, he condemned the origin of sin, the devil. And they were judged to be executed in the garbage incinerator in the universe on that day. And it is here where we see the dichotomy of the Son of Man. That when he died on the cross, the moment that he died, sin was transferred onto his body. He bore our sins. And his flesh, his body, because he came as the Son of Man, he is like man, but he is not man. Because in the flesh, he, with his body, he paid the price of sins of mankind. And that very moment is when he shed his blood. And what does his blood do? His blood cleanses sin. Blood cleanses sin. And therefore, it becomes new. So his blood has nothing to do with filth or uncleanliness. It does not perish. It does not spoil. It does not fade away. It has no sin. It is the blood of God. And his blood is the holy and clean blood. And he sprinkled this blood onto the souls of all mankind. And therefore, man's soul has become cleansed. So there is nothing new under the sun. That all created things, all created beings, they perish and they spoil. But his blood does not spoil. It does not perish. It's not corrupt. But his blood is the blood of God. It is the precious blood. It is the clean blood. And it is his blood that he sprinkled into the souls of all mankind. And therefore, man can be made as a new creature. And this work he completed and died. And so therefore, God, he raised him back up and he ascended to heaven. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, he finished this work and he entered the true heaven. So the spiritual heaven, not this the first heaven in this universe, for this universe will be burnt, a garbage incinerator. And the true heaven, the new heaven that we speak of, is the true heaven. It is a new heaven, new heaven. So where did Jesus come from? Where did he come from? He came from the new heaven. He came from the new heaven. He is the Word who became flesh. And by his Word, he created all things. He created by his Word the spiritual heaven and also the first heaven, this universe. Jesus, he created this all. In John chapter 1, it says this, that all things were made through him and through him. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made that has been made. So he is the Word that became flesh. And as the Word, he created the first heaven. He created the heavens, the earth. He created all things. He created it all. And all things, all creation will be burned. all things under the heavens, even every element will be burned and be melted in the garbage incinerator. And so when Jesus Christ, he entered the new heaven, the true heaven, he sprinkled his blood in the new heaven. So when we turn to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with the sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So, for Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. So do you understand? So before Jesus Christ, he came to this world. Before he came as man, where was he? He was the Word. He was with the Father. He was in the bosom of the Father. And it was then that by his Word, he created all things. He created the universe. He created man. He created everything. And not only that, he also created the spiritual heaven and also the first heaven here. However, this universe will be destroyed by the fire on that day. But the spiritual heaven, do you think the spiritual heaven was clean or unclean? So the universe will be burned up in the garbage incinerator on that day. But do you think the spiritual heaven is perfectly and totally clean? Because it is not. That is why we read here that it was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things, such as this universe, to be purified with these sacrifices. So that is why in the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they cleansed with the blood of animals. We read again, in fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So in the time of the Israelites, it was by the blood of animals, by animal blood, that everything in the temple, they were sprinkled with this blood to cleanse. But it says here, these were only copies of the heavenly things. The heavenly things, they're just copies of the spiritual heaven. So these copies, we see that it was the purists with the flesh that they cleansed with the blood of animals. However, in the heavenly, the spiritual heaven, it is not by the blood of animals, but it is the Word who became flesh, God who became flesh, the Spirit who became flesh. It is only by His blood that the spiritual heaven can be purified, can be cleansed. So why do we call it the new heaven? It is called a new heaven because it is by the blood of Jesus, the blood of God, that it's been purified. And it's a new heaven because it is an eternal heaven. Amen. So when Jesus died, he had to shed blood because also the spiritual heaven needed to be purified. And it is this, because it is purified and cleansed by his blood, the souls who are also purified and cleansed by his blood can enter. Amen. So where is Jesus Christ? He is in the new heaven. He is in the new earth. And what does he do there? He is preparing, in preparation and waiting for souls that have been cleansed to enter this holy place. And that is why he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So where did the Holy Spirit come from? Where did the Holy Spirit come from? The Holy Spirit came from the Father and the Son. He came from the new heaven. Amen. The Holy Spirit was always with the Son, was always with the Father. And so when we receive the Holy Spirit, we believe that Jesus Christ is living. Do you believe that? Where do you believe he is? He is living in the new heaven. And because the Holy Spirit comes from there, he helps us believe that. So those who have received the Holy Spirit, who received the Holy Spirit? It is the souls who have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus. Say amen if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus had not been as resurrected, then he would be just a man. But because he resurrected, he is not man. He is God. And this revealed that God is living, and we believe that this blood he shed is the blood of God. And those who believe in his blood, what do they look forward to? Do we live in the same land, the same world as everyone else? But even so, we have been cleansed. Our soul has been cleansed, and therefore we see and we look forward to the new heaven and new earth. And we see the house that is prepared for us in heaven. Say amen if you believe this. So the church, why is church important? You see, this whole world is just so corrupted, it's so spoiled, and it's just filthy and unclean. The educational system, the political systems, everything is just like a garbage incinerator. It's just like a favela. So when I saw this documentary on the favela, I just couldn't go to sleep. Because it's just such a land of despair, and it's just unimaginable how people can live in such an environment that there's garbage everywhere and all this waste material, and you see the livestock like pigs digging in the trash, and even people who are trying to find food. Like the food scraps, and they bring it back home and recook it, and it's just such a pitiful sight, and it's such a land of despair. And but that's not the problem. But you have to realize that that garbage, that trash, is us. We live. You may think that because you live in a better environment that you're more noble or you're better off, but remember, we are all garbage, we are all trash, for we had no hope. But now, we do have hope. So in the past, we were like trash, we were like garbage, we were like human trash. However, because we have received the blood of Jesus, our souls have been cleansed, and now we have hope. We have hope in living and looking forward to the new heaven and new earth. Amen. So everything in this world is corrupt and spoiled, but it is only the church that does not perish or spoil. So the church is the place where the souls that have been purified, that have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, gather. It is the holy church. It is the only place that does not spoil and that does not fade away. Wherever you look in the world, everything just fades away. Everything is just discouragement. It's a land of despair, of no hope. But it is only in the church where we can have this hope. So we may look like everyone else in the world, but you have to understand and realize that you have been transformed. You have been changed. That with the blood of Jesus, you have become cleansed. So how can a church become more cleansed, where the things of the world cannot infiltrate, where the things of the world cannot spoil this place and taint this place? Even though you spend your time out in the world, you're tainted and you're covered in this filth that has been accumulated in the world. You come into the church, you wash away all of this filth. It's like a laundry. You do the laundry, you put in the detergent, and the cycle spins and spins. It cleanses and it makes clean. And this is like what we do in the church. And that is why I believe that worship is so important. That from beginning to end, it's like a laundry cycle that keeps spinning and spinning. And the more it spins, the more the filth and the taint and that has accumulated is washed away, is cleansed, and you become cleansed. So we spend the week out in the world, but when we enter into the church, you are reminded that I am a soul, I am a spirit. And you're reminded about that. And that when you come into the church, that your soul can be cleansed by the word, washed by the water, by the word, and by his blood. Where else can protect your soul? It is only in the church. And so when you have received the blood of Jesus 100%, you have been cleansed.
when you have his blood, it's not about how long you've had his blood, but the moment you receive his blood is when you are cleansed. But how can you preserve and maintain and sustain this cleanliness by his blood? So when you're out in the world, you are just so exposed to all the spoiled things, all the filth, and you see how culture and how society has been advancing and becoming more corrupted. And the more time passes, the more and more it becomes more filthy, more tainted. Internet is like that. All the knowledges of the world, the theories of the world, science is like that. But where can my soul be protected? And where can I be this? It is in the church where we worship him. So we enter this worship, remembering that we are souls, that we have, by the grace of God, received his blood, and with his blood that we are cleansed, and that during this hour of worship, from beginning to end, we are cleansed and cleansed. So even though we go back into the world, we try to maintain this state of cleanliness. So we have to obey the word. Faith is obedience. And you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and his blood is the blood of God, and his blood is what cleanses. And when you believe in this, then you testify that by your act of obedience. It is not only by your confession with your lips, but it is to testify in your life and in your actions that you believe this. That you confess and you believe that Jesus Christ is God, and his blood is the blood of God, and his blood cleanses my soul. And when you have this faith, it is through the act of obedience that you testify your faith. So if you believe that you are soul cleansed by the blood of Jesus, say amen. So wash by the word and be cleansed by the word. So when we see each other, we call one another brothers and sisters. So we are all the same. So we are to love one another. You don't call one another human trash or garbage, but we're all the same. We're all the same. We came from the same origin. And if there's a brother who has still yet to be changed or transformed, you encourage them, you support them, you pray for them so that they can be changed, for we were all once like that. But in order, because we have this hope to escape this burning universe, this garbage incinerator, because we have this hope to enter the Father's house, to enter the new heaven and new earth, we hold onto this hope. And when we fall and stumble, we get right back up and we help each other up. And this is the brotherly love. Amen. So as the day approaches, as the return of our Lord approaches, then all the more desperately we look forward to that day where we can enter the new heaven and new earth. This is the living hope. Those who have the living hope, they wait for that day. Those who sow the seed, they wait for the seed to reap the harvest. And so therefore, as Christians, as believers, we sow the living seed. As we saw in the dedication drama, this past Friday, we see that the main character, he wanted to leave the favela to look for a better future and to make this place a better place. And because he needed this money, he was a fighter and he almost died. He was paralyzed, but he met Jesus and was able to walk. He was saved and he became a police officer. And so he went back to his hometown in the favela. And when he returned to the favela, he preached about Yeshua. We want to show that there is hope. And that is why the main character, he gave this the Bible to this little child. telling this child to read this Bible because in here contains the hope, the living hope. And he told this child that I was able to become a police officer and I was able to be saved because I met Jesus. And so he gave him this Bible to the little kid. The little kid, he read the Bible, and that was how he said, "What is this book?" And that is how the scene ended. So it was a hopeful ending. In order to plant this living hope. So even though he did not transform and make better the whole favela, but even to that one child, he planted this living hope. So nothing was in vain. He planted this hope. So as we give our dedication, we have the soul offering, and we want to help souls grow in faith and grow our group. And even though you don't see fruit right in front of you, but if you have even one soul that you, if you have hope, then in order to have that hope, you have to have had a time where you were in despair and had a time where you acknowledged that you were garbage and trash. Raise your hand if you had in your time believed that you were trash, like garbage. Have you truly had such an experience of, for me, 100%, I believe that I was trash, that I was garbage, that I should not have even been born, that I am the worst of all sinners, that I lived and breathed the sin just like garbage, like trash. I was like human trash. But I, by his grace, was able to hear the gospel, received his blood, and my soul has been cleansed. And that though all this universe, all things will be burned in the fire, only those who are cleansed can enter the new heaven and new earth. And this is the very hope that I have. And so therefore, I press on so that at least one more soul can receive his blood, be cleansed, and to sustain this so that their faith grows stronger. And if not, if they stumble, then they be able to repent, and so that they can come back to faith. We do this so that we can all arrive at the new heaven and new earth on the day that our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Hallelujah. Let us pray.